techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address if you want to get in touch. Before the break, we were chatting to our friend John Riley of TheEffect.net, and we were kind of contemplating and pondering the top devices of the year so far. I would love to hear your thoughts. Maybe it's not a new device that just came out in 2026, but it's new to your life. Let me know, what is your favourite tech product of the year so far? techtalk@newstalk.com, as I say, is the email address. Now, this week, it was announced that the Irish Internet Hotline has been designated as a trusted flagger under the European Union's Digital Services Act by Commissioner Mann. This is significant. And joining me now to explain exactly why that is the CEO of Irish Internet Hotline, Mick Moran. Mick, it's great to have you on the programme. Thanks so much for your time. And before we talk through this announcement, can you just start by reminding us about the work that ye do at hotline.ie?
So the Irish Internet Hotline was actually founded as hotline.ie back in 99. We changed our name last year. So we are essentially, we had been set up back in the day as an internet service provider platform where people could report stuff that they were seeing online. But of course, the world has changed hugely since then. And we are a member of the In Hope organization. So we're a hotline, you know, similar to other hotlines. People will have heard of the Internet Watch Foundation, the UK, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in the USA. So we're part of that international network. And we basically provide a public facing platform where people can report illegal or harmful content. And then we'll move through our channels to get it removed and get it taken down and to stop it circulating again in the future.
This is something that we've spoken about on the programme a lot over the years, particularly around intimate image abuse and how harmful that can be. And the point that I always make is that, if something is only up for 3 minutes, that's 3 minutes too long if you're the person at the heart of that. Can you just explain, like, once you receive a report, what is that process, and roughly is there an average time in terms of how long it takes for something to not only come down but, as you said, prevent it from being re-uploaded or reshared?
Yeah, like we you know, to be fair to most companies, most platforms will remove content that's illegal very quickly. We're very proud of the fact that we can sometimes have stuff removed in as short a time as 3 minutes, and up to 24 hours or a couple of days. But, you know, we keep chasing it. Like, we have a system in place where we would be kind of trusted. We're part, as I said, of this kind of international network. So companies are well aware of who we are. They're well aware of the expertise we have. Our analysts are very highly trained in relation to the law and in relation to dealing with harmful content that may not necessarily be illegal in certain jurisdictions, but may be illegal here in Ireland. And intimate image abuse, or, you know, that type of material is absolutely right up that alley, you know. And to be fair to companies, they're very quick at taking it down once you make sure that they're aware that there is harm involved. And I feel, you know, I have sympathy for companies in a certain respect, because the scale and the amount of material that they're dealing with every minute, every hour is humongous. And so having trusted lines like us, trusted organizations like us, makes their job that little bit easier, you know. And so we're quite proud of the fact that we can get stuff down a lot quicker than people think we can. And I suppose people's understanding of how long it takes to get stuff down probably comes from the fact that they're engaging with the platform themselves, and they're not seeing it being reacted to in the way that they feel it should be.
Yeah, this is something that, again, you know, I have experience of it at a much lower scale in terms of reporting content that I, as a human, think should be taken down. You get the automated reply and nothing happens. But there are organizations such as yourselves, such as CyberSafe Kids, who we deal with frequently, such as schools as well, that do have sort of shortcuts into these companies. One thing that comes up sometimes, though, Mick, is people say, but I don't know if this is just me being oversensitive. Would you welcome, and should it be the case that people reach out to organizations like yours, even to sense check if something is at the point where it should not be on a platform and potentially could cause harm to somebody?
Well, that's it. I mean, the harm is very much in the eyes of the beholder, you know. Mm. So if you feel you're being harmed, well, then you let us know and take the advice of our analysts who are dealing with this stuff every day. So for them, you know, one of the first things we'll do is we will reassure, you know. And in a lot of cases, you may not even think that it is an intimate image as defined by COCO's law, mm-hmm. you know, the Harassment, Harmful Communications and Related Offences Act of 2020, which is really, really good law. And our analysts will say, well, look, it may not fully fit under that definition. However, we will pass on the fact that it's causing you harm having this up there. And anyone who has been a victim of intimate image abuse, you know, and there have been some people who have been very public about their own, the effects on them. Gráin Ní Sóiga comes to mind, Alexis Ryan comes to mind. They're people who have been very public about the fact that this really damaged their mental health, having this stuff circulating out there, even the thoughts of it. And I mean, that's empirically proved, that it's more the thoughts of it circulating out there online that causes the psychological damage rather than anything physical that's happening to the person, you know.
Yeah.
And like we see this as well with children who've been abused, and their material is shared out as child sexual abuse material. It's the same thing. And so that does engender psychological harm. And, you know, we're there. We're a service specifically for this. We've been set up by the Department of Justice, have given us this remit to assist people in this. And, you know, sometimes these cases can be related to gender-based violence or coercive control. They can be simple things like, you know, some of your classmates doing it for the laugh. But it can also get more, you know, vicious when it's like revenge pornography, where you're intending to cause harm. And the law is very simple about that. Like, the law is the sharing or the threatening to share, and that's an important one. And there's all sorts of campaigns out there. People need to understand you cannot share or threaten to share the intimate images of somebody. And we've been working with CyberSafe Kids this week, actually, with a campaign, you know, to say, look, it's not the end of the world. There is help available. Please get in touch, you know. And that's our message. Like, we're a long-standing organization. We've now have trusted flagger status with Commissioner Naman. You know, we're there. We can help. We've been doing this for years and years. You know, we've been doing it for nearly three decades now. And we are connected internationally. We have good cooperation from the companies and the platforms, and we can help.
One area that it's so interesting to see how it played out at the start of this year, because as you said, you guys have been around for almost three decades. We have things like COCO's law, which were so hard fought for and is already making a difference. But at the start of this year, we started to see the emergence of something new, which was intimate image abuse that was AI generated. I assume from Hotline's point of view that if someone is targeted by AI-generated image abuse of them, that still counts, right?
Of course it still counts. It doesn't matter how the image is generated, whether it's voluntarily given during a relationship or whether it's taken surreptitiously. God, I hate that word. whether it's taken, you know, without your permission or without your consent, it doesn't matter. An intimate image is an intimate image, and it's very much you who decides. It's quite subjective, you know. An intimate image does have a definition under the Act, but if you feel it's causing you harm, well, then please reach out, and the help is there. And it, like, we have seen already some sexual extortion involving intimate images that have been produced by artificial intelligence, and those sexual extortion cases can be they can be massively damaging to people, you know. And we know of cases where people have self-harmed after being caught up in this type of thing. Now, sexual extortion, it's really just an extension of the intimate image abuse type stuff, but it's important that we know all about it, and that people are aware that sharing of intimate images, or even AI generated intimate images, can be used in these kind of sextortion scams, these criminality efforts. And there's often three outcomes sought by the offender. It can be for financial gain. They'll say, look, if you don't pay us X amount of money, we're going to share this with all your friends and your school. The second thing they'll look for is they'll look for more content, you know, generally more and more higher level content or higher quality content. So if you've shown your breasts, for example, they'll look for full nudity. If you know, when they get the full nudity, they'll continue with the blackmailing to get you to involve sex acts and maybe either alone or with other people. And then the third one is this new, well, it's new, we've been seeing it for years, but it's certainly becoming more and more pernicious now, which is these whole comm groups and 764 groups. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but basically gangs of young fellas who operate online, generally in services like Discord and places like that, where they hang out together and, you know, share and generate really shocking and bizarre content. And the more bizarre and the more shocking and the more outrageous it is, you know, the higher their status within the group is. And these gangs of young fellas are mostly young fellas, obviously also some young girls involved as well, but it's generally young fellas. And you know, they can force people through the use of intimate images, they can force people into things like self-harm, suicide, carrying out acts in the real world that are bizarre or outrageous, as I said, stuff like killing the neighbor's pets, slashing tires, and that radicalization, then depending on how extreme the group is, that radicalization can also include stuff like, you know, terrorism, you know, far right, far left sort of activities in the real world, all for the lulls, you know, all for the laugh, which is quite pernicious. And intimate image abuse is all linked in with that whole ecosystem too. So that's why people should really report it fast, and let our people get stuck in to ensure that A, it's taken down if it's already displayed somewhere, but B, that it isn't circulated further, you know?
Yeah. And look, it shows you just the importance of the work that Hotline is doing, and the wider web. People might just think, and I completely understand, that it's just about the one image, but it's not. It's the wider web, as you've outlined there. Tell me about the significance of the appointment as a trusted flagger. What exactly does that entail?
We have moved, as you're well aware, we have moved from a self-regulation model in the recent past to a regulated model as a result of the Digital Services Act that was brought into the European Union a couple of years ago. And as part of that Digital Services Act, there is under Article 22 of it that, you know, there is this possibility for people like us, organizations like ourselves, to be nominated and designated as trusted flaggers under the Act. And so what and it also It also nominates an agency within each country to be the regulator, if you like. So our regulator here in Ireland is Commissioner na Mban. And Commissioner na Mban and the European Commission have designated us as trusted flaggers, which gives us a legislative partnership status with Commissioner na Mban. It gives us a background, if you like. It kind of acknowledges the work we have been doing, the fact that we are an organization that's independent, that has a particular expertise and competence, that we will carry out notification under the Act to the platforms that Commissioner na Mban are concerned with, to the platforms, you know, and we'll do that diligently, accurately, objectively, that we'll get that we can be trusted, essentially trusted flaggers. We can flag this information to the platforms and have them take it down. Now, it doesn't change a lot of what we're doing in the sense that we've been doing it for so long anyway. So it doesn't necessarily change it. It just puts it on a legislative framework, probably increases our work a little bit, because we'll have to be, I suppose, different reporting formats for DSA notifications, a different, more official engagement with the platforms concerned. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, people think that it's all about the platforms, that it's all about Meta and Instagram and YouTube and Snapchat and whatever. But like, the internet is a very vast place, and images can be posted in various different places. And it's up to us to have the expertise and the knowledge and the wherewithal to go after these different locations and these different places to basically inform them that, look, this is illegal or it's harmful, and can you please take it down and make sure that it doesn't get back uploaded again, you know?
Yeah, well, look, the work that you're doing is fantastic, and it is vitally important. And unfortunately, I think it's going to remain vitally important for a long while to come. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, Mick. Thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
No problem, Jess. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, that was Mick Moran of Irish Internet Hotline. You can find more information up on hotline.ie. And if you've been impacted by anything that we have spoken about in the last few minutes, you can reach out to the Samaritans 24 hours a day on 116 123. We'll be right back.